What's your first console?
What was the first game that changed your world forever?
Let's get those cogs turning.
Gaming news of the week.
Gaming news of the Wii?
Week.
I didn't hear the K. Gaming news of the Wii.
Because your hearing is weak.
Do I need to turn up the volume on my... There we go. There we go. Can you repeat that?
Gaming news of the week.
There we go. That's better. That's a little bit clearer. I like that. Thank you. Thank you for that.
Good Lord, man.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. What do we got?
Well, Myst.
Apparently Myst is becoming a TV series.
The almighty game from, what was it, the late 90s?
Early.
No, it was actually early 90s. I apologize for that. Early 90s, which was actually a full, like, it was a 3D environment that you walked through with pictures, and it was a puzzle game. And it had real-life actors that played in, like, you would open a book, and there was, like, this real-life actor, like, they implanted him in the game, like, for video purposes.
Oh, yeah. You're right, they did.
And there was actually... There was two endings to those games, too, because you could choose to save one or the other of the guys that were in the book, because there was a red book and there was a blue book, but that game was hard. It was really hard.
Yeah, it was hard. I actually am one of those who had it, owned it, never beat it, because it was hard. I have an actual player's guide to Myst and Riven, the sequel to Myst.
Mm-hmm.
But, it's listed as a graphic adventure puzzle game. I guess that's an accurate description.
Yeah.
But it was released in 1993 on, get this, Derp, Macintosh Personal Computer.
What the fuck is a Macintosh?
Well, all you kids today know them as iMacs. Yes, before it was an iMac, it was a Macintosh.
I was going to make a stupid joke about, like, the iMac of Sauron or something like that, but...
The iMac of Sauron. I like that. I like it. So Mordor is a Silicon Valley? Is that what's going on? Well, Myst was a surprise hit. According to Wikipedia, it sold over 6 million copies. Now, that's unheard of, especially in the early 90s. Like, dude, listen to this. Best-selling game on the PC until The Sims... exceeded it in sales in 2002. 9 years of being the best-selling PC game ever. Period. No one could come close.
And really, like, if people actually start picking that game up and playing it, it's a hard, hard puzzle game.
Yeah.
Like, seriously, anyone that wants a good challenge, get that.
They made sequels. I remember Myst 3 was on the original Xbox, and then they also made a 4?
I don't know. I just remember Myst and Riven.
I remember Myst and Riven as well, and then I remember Myst 3 was on the original Xbox and PC. But here, let's verify. There was Myst in 1993, Riven in 1997, Myst 3 Exile... in 2001 for Mac OS X, PlayStation 2, Windows, and Xbox. And then there was Uru, Ages Beyond Myst in 2003 for Windows. And then there was Myst 4 Revelation in 2004 for Mac, Windows, and Xbox. And then Myst 5 End of Ages for just Windows and Mac OS X.
That's okay. All the Mac can play anyways is still picture games.
Derp Taku throwing shade.
Why do you think no one codes for a Mac? Because they know it can't run it.
Well, as you can see, Myst is one of those games that's just part of gaming history, gaming culture. When we were younger, it was a big deal. Well, apparently Myst is becoming a TV series. Myst co-creator Rand Miller will help develop and produce the show with his youngest brother, Ryan Miller.
Basically, each episode's going to be them solving one quarter of a puzzle. Wait for the full arc for them to solve the first one.
Well, according to the article that they posted on the Nerdist, it says that the project could also expand into a, quote, a multi-platform universe that includes film, scripted, and unscripted television content. So... I mean, there's a lot of sequels, there's a lot of lore, there's a lot of content. Putting into a TV series could be fun. Hell, maybe it might even develop ideas for a new game. Who knows?
Maybe.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
That's kind of cool.
It really is.
I enjoyed Myst for back in the day, but I will admit, I have not beat it and I have not played it in years.
I've seen the ending. There are two.
Are they any good?
No. It's kind of,
I'm gonna have to YouTube it.
It's kind of boring, honestly. But it's more the fact that you beat the game that is the good feeling of success.
Okay. I mean, you also got to understand, too, computer games, you know, live actors. I mean, it was a revolution in the early 90s or something like that. It was a big deal.
It was. It really was.
Just to be able to produce a game like that. Endings and plots and schemes and stuff, that all that stuff turned into studio quality movies, what, years and years later.
Shit.
What?
I just remembered what game I should have talked about that I want to be made into a frickin' movie.
Well, shit. Let's backtrack.
1 week ago.
All right, we were talking about games to movies and movies to games. And Derp, you just told me you thought of another one.
Yes, MechWarrior.
MechWarrior!
The Battletech universe. Where's the fucking Battletech movie?
Dude!
Like, that was the one thing my dad and I have always talked about, and I didn't think about it at the time, but Battletech, like, the MechWarrior games were awesome, and there's, dude, the tech, where the tech is now, why are we not making a movie of that?
Dude, I forgot about that game series completely until you brought it up. I think you were the one who introduced me to it.
Well, there's still, like, they're still around, too, but that was, like, one of the original games I played with my dad on my first computer.
That's like, freaking cool.
MechWarrior 2, MechWarrior, like, those games were awesome, and, like, they could do a good war movie with that. And it's not like the games haven't stopped. Piranha made the online one.
Yeah.
And then, I can't remember, I think Piranha actually made the new one. But there's MechWarrior 5 on Epic now, but it didn't get great reviews, though. But, I don't know. It's always been fun.
Yeah.
But anyways.
Well, actually, it's kind of funny that you bring this up, Dirt, because on our Discord under the episode discussion channel that we created in the last podcast, we've actually gotten more participants, you know, commenting about each episode that they've listened to. And Omega Apex chimed in just a couple of days ago to say, Hitman.
Yeah, Hitman. I remember seeing that.
Hitman with actor Timothy Oliphant. He said he thought it was a good movie. That's also what our episode discussion channel and Discord's for. It's for, hey, you heard our podcast, talk about what you guys think too. It doesn't matter how old the episode is, just if you want to chime in with your thoughts, share them. That's really cool. But since you brought up a game that you thought would be good as a movie, thought I should also throw that in there, that we have people still talking about our previous episodes, which I think is fantastic.
Yes. Agreed.
So thank you, guys. Thank you. That's so cool.
But anyways, on to the next subject after I just randomly thought that.
No, that's cool. MechWarrior. Dude, I'm going to have to look into that again. It's been ages since I even heard the word MechWarrior. That's really cool. But sadly, the only other gaming news of the week that we have are two very, very sad ones.
Extremely.
Extremely sad. Voice actor Paul Haddad, who voiced Leon Kennedy in the original Resident Evil 2 for PlayStation 1, has sadly passed away.
What's going on in this town? Hey!
Game over.
According to his Wikipedia page, Haddad stated on YouTube live stream that he suffered from stage 3 throat cancer.
Ooh.
And had a tumor growing on one of his vocal cords.
That's no good. Poor guy.
They never said specifically why or what the cause of death was. But just that his Wikipedia page stated that he was having cancer issues, and
well, if it was a tumor in his throat, it was either one, he couldn't breathe anymore, or two, it went to his brain.
Yeah, so the one quote that comes to mind, every time I think of the original Resident Evil 2, Leon Kennedy at the very end, after you get the final ending of the game, is,
"Hey, it's up to us to take out Umbrella."
So, cheers to you, Paul Haddad, thank you.
Cheers to you with your empty glass, you sodden prick. Get a real glass and then cheers the man that brought you Resident Evil.
Dude,
that's
they can't
right.
See,
you crack that beer
they,
open.
They can't see my glass. You're not supposed
yeah,
to.
Yeah, but I can, and it bothers me that you're trying to cheers a man with an empty glass.
You're not supposed to break the fourth wall.
I'm breaking all the walls. This is Leon S. fucking Kennedy, man.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
Don't ruin it.
You know what? I'll do one better for you. I'll do one better for you. I'm gonna wear my RPD Raccoon Police Department badge.
Better. You're forgiven.
For the rest, I'm gonna wear this for the rest of the podcast. All right.
Okay, you do that.
Paul Haddad.
Cheers to Mr. Paul Haddad.
Leon Kennedy, the original. Thank you for the memories.
Yes.
Sadly, we have one more voice actor who has recently passed away, and it is also due to COVID-19 coronavirus, and that is voice actor Rick May.
Good old Peppy Hair and Andross.
Aim for his back. Aim for the open spot. Be careful, it might be a trap. Come on, Fox, you can do it. Do a barrel roll.
Ah, the son of James McLeod. You can never defeat me.
Star Fox 64 voice actor.
Do a barrel roll.
Do a barrel roll.
Do a barrel roll in respects to the man.
He also played the soldier in Team Fortress 2.
Mm.
Hit it, Doc. Let's go, Doc. Ready for that charge, Doc. Now that is what I want to see. This point is mine. Do you understand that? We have commandeered my point.
But you know what's funny? You spelled him as solder.
I did. I'm terrible at spelling. I apologize.
He's a solder in Team Fortress 2.
You know what's really funny is Microsoft Word said I spelled solder correctly, so it didn't correct me on my context.
Yeah, you did. But soldier also has an I.
Voice actor Rick May, Peppy Hair, Andross, Soldier, Team Fortress 2. To Rick May.
To Rick May.
Do a barrel roll in heaven, sir.
Yes. Do many. So, on to what Blue has made into his own personal new session on this, which I'm okay with because it works.
This is not gaming news now. This is rumors and speculation. There's so many rumors going on right now, Derp. It's not even funny.
I think it's because people are bored and they can data mine all day.
Like, that's exact. Yes. Either, or they're just making this shit up. I don't know what's worse.
I don't know, but they're credible. It's credible rumors.
Yes. Like, every single article that I have read, and I've read a lot, they all say that they're from credible people. And they start listening, well, they were right about this game. They were right about this game. So we have more stuff to talk about. So we have a rumors and speculation section because there's so many rumors going around today. And it's crazy. Derp, what's the first rumor? What's the first rumor?
Well, Final Fantasy VII Legacy Collection for the Switch.
Nani?
So, you know, I'm actually super okay with this because I've never played Dirge's Cerberus. So what the Final Fantasy VII Legacy Collection is it's Crisis Core, Dirge's Cerberus, and Before Crisis, which honestly, I don't know what Before Crisis is.
It's Square's first major mobile game in Japan.
Oh, okay. I did not know that.
And the protagonists are the Turks.
Oh, okay, cool.
It was
cool.
Very popular. Well, the services are no longer running. But it was a big deal in Japan back then. America never got Before Crisis.
Got it. Okay, but anyways, this collection is rumored to be coming out on the Switch, which would mean activating combat mode. Conflict resolved.
Well, we did just run through Crisis Core on PSP and had a blast, but let me just tell you, if we could get an HD remaster of that game, oh my god, it would look so much better than what I tried so hard to make look good in OBS when I streamed it.
And I know, and Conflict Resolved.
Conflict Resolved. Yeah, that would be great.
That's gonna be the running joke for me this time. I'm just gonna keep saying activating combat mode in certain situations.
Derp, I'm so surprised for your love of Final Fantasy VII that you've never played Dirge of Cerberus. I have, I own it, I've beat it, and I plan on streaming it this year.
Dirge of Cerberus was just one I never bought it. I never got around to it. I didn't have the money to buy it at the time, and I just haven't played it.
And that's understandable. Life happens, stuff happens. But let me just tell you, it's a Devil May Cry shooter starring Vincent Valentine that takes place after Advent Children, and it has an awesome story, and it has CG cutscenes that look like that was taken straight from Advent Children. The quality is amazing. The story is amazing. It adds more to the Final Fantasy VII world. And it's one of my personal favorite sequels. And I can't wait to play it. If the Legacy Collection is true on the Switch, I'll be excited, but I'm still going to stream it this year. Maybe in the summer months. Maybe in the summer months when I do my new working title, Summer of Sequels with Blue. A working title, but we're going to do a sequel running event this summer on Paradigm Gaming on Twitch.
Conflict resolved.
Conflict resolved. Luckily, Dirge of Cerberus didn't have any of those combat mode voices. It's a great rumor, and I hope it becomes real.
We got a new 3DS coming out or something there, Blue?
There is no better way of you to ask that question. There is a rumor that just popped up recently, like 4 days ago. There's rumor that Nintendo's working on a new Switch console that has two screens. Now, you might be asking yourself, how the
April Fools?
Yeah, I know, right? You might be asking yourself, April Fools, or where the hell did this come from? How do you get that? So here's what's interesting. There was a new firmware release update for the Switch on the 14th. And the new firmware upgrade allowed users to swap data between the hard drive and the memory cards. So you basically adjust all of your save data, your game data, everything, mm-hmm. which is actually quite handy. There's a lot of games I would love to move off of the hard drive and onto the SD card. Now you can do that. And the other cool thing was you have the ability to remap Pro Controller and Joy-Con buttons. There was a controller update, which is great.
Oh, nice.
But the rumor part is apparently this firmware update contains a profiles for new hardware models that would feature a second display of some sort. It's unclear how the dual display Switch would work, and there's no evidence to suggest that Nintendo's planning an upgrade, but according to these data miners, and I don't know how the hell they're figuring out what's listed in these firmwares, if they're hacking it or breaking their Switches or what, but
of course they're hacking it.
They're basically saying, well, you have an update, I read the data in the update, and supposedly there's a weird thing in there that says, we might be getting a Switch with two screens. Nintendo DS Part 2, Switch...
That's exactly what it says on one line. We're working on dual screens, guys!
Now, the only thing I can
think
of...
Are you ready for the new 3DS? We got the 3SD.
The 3SD. The 3 dual screen. It's the Switch. It's the second screen on the Switch, and it's your television.
The 3D Switch Dueler.
Add it to your docking station and it becomes a drone.
Yes. With those exact noises, too.
I don't know what to think about a Switch with two screens. I love my 3DS. I love my DS. But the Switch was meant to be different. And if there's anything I want is to keep the games on the 3DS alive, maybe they're going to do something to bring the 3DS games over? I don't know.
You know what I'm hearing?
What?
Don't worry, guys. We're adding you a second screen, but just to make sure, you're only going to have about a half hour of battery life because you know it only lasts an hour with one screen.
Oh, that just broke my heart to hear you say that. Oh, go back to the 3DS, you putz. Don't fix what ain't broken. You have a 3DS for a reason. You have a Switch for a reason. Keep them separate. Anyway, that was what the rumor was for the Switch. Apparently, according to the firmware update, there could be a new Switch console being developed for a Switch with two screens. Who knows? We could be wrong.
We could not be wrong.
We could also be bored. I don't know. Google that shit. I'm not making it up.
Do what he says. Google that shit.
All right, we have one last rumor, and this one's actually kind of a big one. Did you know, Derp, that Mario is turning 35 this year?
Yeah, and apparently remasters and a new Paper Mario for his 35th is rumored.
Yeah, and not just any remaster. We're talking like a collection, maybe.
Hmm. What would be in this collection, sir?
Supposedly, according to this rumor, and guys, you can Google this. This is on so many publications, it's not even funny. It's spreading like crazy. But you guys all know that E3 got canceled, right? If you guys haven't been living under a rock, E3 2020 is not happening. Nintendo is obviously going to be reviewing its plans to do some sort of digital event to share something about Mario's 35th anniversary. And I'm pretty sure if E3 wasn't canceled and this whole pandemic didn't happen, they would be celebrating him at E3.
I agree.
But what's rumored is apparently a Something along the likes of like a Super Mario All-Stars 2, but for 3D Mario games, that might include 1997's Mario 64, 2002's Mario Sunshine, or 2007's Super Mario Galaxy. Which would be cool, and not just ports, they're talking remasters, so... I don't know, I could imagine Mario 64 looking like Mario Galaxy graphics could be fun.
Plus, you know, HD water.
I'm all about that HD water. Sploosh. But, you know, it's Mario's 35th anniversary, so it looks like they're trying to celebrate more than just remasters. There's rumor for a new Paper Mario title in the series, and there's supposedly a rumor for a deluxe version of 2013's Super Mario 3D World that might include new levels and stuff. And that's kind of cool. But these are rumors. VideoGamesChronicles.com, who did mention a lot of these remakes and rumors and stuff, approached Nintendo for comment. But obviously Nintendo said, quote-unquote, we do not comment on rumors and speculation. Nothing's been officially said by Nintendo. This is spiraling out of control on the internet because the internet obviously wants something.
The only thing Nintendo comments on is when somebody tries to use their product for either free or some gain.
ROM hacks. You're right. Not just that, even emulation. They shut down a couple of big main emulation sites too for legal issues. They'll comment on the legal stuff.
You guys aren't even selling the games anymore. You're not bringing them back. Let people do something with them so they can play your damn games.
Yeah, you know they're protecting their IP.
I get it, but if they're not making money off of it anymore. If they're not making money off of it, then don't worry about it.
I think they are still making money off some of this stuff.
How? They're not releasing it new.
It's Mario. He's always making money. All you gotta do is hit a block and coins come out. All right, well, the last time Nintendo celebrated anything Mario was on their 30th anniversary, and they celebrated it in a big way, and that was with Super Mario Maker 1 on the Wii U, allowing players... and fans from across the world to create their own Mario-inspired levels. It's a great game, it was the coolest thing, and it was the biggest debut ever. I got the game, I got the art booklet, I got pins, I even got a Rubik's Cube that's got Mario Maker stuff on it. It was a big deal. I made like 16 levels of my own stuff.
You did.
I loved Mario Maker, and you can also check out those levels on our YouTube channel. I have a page on our website, paradigmgaming.live. It has a Super Mario Maker page, and you can see all the levels that I made from the first game and the levels I made on the new game. But anyway, if these rumors are true for a 3D Mario remaster, new Paper Mario game, or even more games after that for Mario, I'm all for it. I mean, Derp, you do know that they're working on a Super Mario World at Universal Studios.
I do.
And they're also working on a Super Mario Brothers movie with Illumination Studios, who did the Despicable Me movies.
Aren't they working on just a Nintendo World in general at Universal?
Oh yeah, Super Nintendo World, that's what I meant to call it. They call it Super Nintendo World.
Like, it's not just Mario, it's all Nintendo.
Yeah, but from the trailer that they debuted for it, which was cool by the way, it was nothing but Mario and his Mario character friends. So yeah, I hope it's the year of Mario is what it sounds like, and if Nintendo actually does something about it, I'm all for it. Let's celebrate the plumber who made us all happy to be video gamers.
Sir.
Yes.
He's not a plumber anymore.
He's a doctor, he's a tennis player, he's a professional golfer. He made cookies with Yoshi.
But he's not a plumber.
I know. They did officially announce he's not a plumber. But dude, back in my day, he was a freaking plumber, okay? I can't just forget about that. I can't pretend it never happened.
Sir, Nintendo has said, and it shall be, he never was, nor will he ever be, said plumber.
Well, not according to my generation, not to mention all of the animated series shows that features him as a plumber.
I know, he's straight up a plumber.
He is. And he was damn good at his job until he got sucked into the Mushroom Kingdom, and then he was basically the police. Trying to kick down Koopa's door and stealing Princess Toadstool back. Yeah, it was King Koopa, and her name was Princess Toadstool. She wasn't Peach in America until Super Mario 64.
Hey, I've seen the comics. Peach is just really with Bowser trying to get away from Mario, and Mario keeps trying to come and take her back.
What website and what comics have you been reading, Derp?
I'll link you the scruffy stuff later.
I'm frightened.
I'm gonna go find it right now while we're talking.
Sounds good. All right, well, let's move on then.
Personal gaming highlights of the week.
Derp, do you have any personal gaming highlights of the week?
So, when I mentioned last week I had started making a tabletop, well, I did fully announce it.
You did?
I did the sneak peek.
What's it called? You didn't tell us last time.
It is called the... as far as the running title and what I'm making it, and it seems like it's going to be okay... Glitrix.
Ooh.
AKA short name for you, Glix. Which actually I'm supporting that.
Yeah. Welcome to the Glix.
That's a good shortened name for it.
I shortened it.
But the Glitrix, which is basically a throw on the Matrix mixed with Twitch.
The Matrix and Twitch mixed into a tabletop game.
Pretty much.
I like the sound of it.
So in a world, basically in the future by about, well, let's go 10 years, the world is in a full dive motion, much like Sword Art Online, where you can fully immerse yourself within a virtual world, body and mind. Well, this is a new platform, the Glitrix, a streaming platform meant for all new people and all new streamers and old streamers alike. That come into this MMO-like world, pick a class, and run around on it, streaming their experiences. And it's just before a new patch is coming out where you can actually enjoy other genres of games within the platform itself as well.
Ooh.
Much like Twitch, where you can play multiple games and different types of games on it. This is the same thing, except the Glitrix itself is an AI. And has become sentient in its own form, but that is unbeknownst to the players. And while more story things are getting flushed out and all that, like I said, I had started writing the story, but I opened a Discord to a bunch of people that wanted to help, and actually gotten quite a lot of help from a few people and help making this. And it's come a long way.
You've got overwhelmingly amount of responses from a lot of people in our community. It's been really cool to see.
Yeah, so it's come a long way in the past week since I announced it. I think that same night or the night after. But we got a lot of stuff done this week.
Nice. I remember you bringing it up and you're like, hey, I got this idea. I'm like, hey, that's kind of cool. Hey, I think I want to do this. Hey, I think that's kind of cool. Hey, I did a thing. Hey, that's kind of cool. Now look at you. Look at you go.
Yeah, no, the response was actually insanely positive. Like, people like the idea. They like where it's going. They like what it's doing. It's all tech-based. It's like having a medieval fantasy MMO mixed with Tron.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
And I'm taking elements from, again, D&D and Rifts. I'm going to be looking into other platforms like Call of Cthulhu, because I guess they have a good skill system and investigation system, stuff like that. So I want to look into the systems they have for that and see if I can implement it in some way, maybe.
Nice.
Or just change it a little to make it work. But yeah, so it's been good.
That's awesome,
that's
dude.
That's my gaming highlight of the week. I haven't been playing much games. I haven't gotten in on Final Fantasy anymore.
If it makes you feel any better, Derp, I haven't gotten too far into it either. Within the last couple of days, I've only been able to play like maybe an hour. And I want to play more. I've just been busy myself.
I hate myself.
Why?
I bought something this morning.
What? What'd you buy?
It involves a number 76.
No. No, you didn't. What? Are you serious?
I did.
Why? There better be a story behind this, Derp. I will support you to the ends of the earth, but you better give me a reason why you bought that game.
I mean, it's got very positive reviews on Steam now.
Really?
Now that it's released on Steam and they added back in all the NPCs.
Look, I know I'm biased. I need to know what you know. Tell me things.
Well, they've fixed a lot of the game now. It's like when a game starts out shitty, they have a shitty start, and it's just a shitty game in general because they didn't fix all their problems before releasing it. Well, the game looks like it's fixed now. They've added back in the NPCs. They've added back in a lot of the quests from the NPCs. That's what the whole update was about and why it released on Steam as well.
All right, Derp, then I need you to play the game, and I need you to report back to me, and I need to know your thoughts because it's very important that I know that you tell me what you think. Your opinion matters to me.
What? Do you not want to walk the wasteland with me as brothers?
If it's worth it! Dude, it's Fallout 76! Dude, the canvas bag scandal! There's like 50 scandals when this game got launched! I've been bashing the shit out of this game! And you just bought it! Dude, in one of our first podcasts, I fucking blasted that game in a comment saying, well, at least it wasn't Fallout 76. I was throwing shade. Brr, 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 remember?
Yes. Yes, I do.
Oh, this is awesome.
That's why I had to add in that comment and say, yeah, I bought that.
This is awesome. All right. Play the game. Tell me how it is. And if you think it's worth it, I will join you. But wait. How much was it? How much did you pay?
$39.99.
Okay, that's decent.
I think it was on sale before it came out for a little bit cheaper, but
right.
I was like, yeah, I don't want it. And then I started looking at the updates, and I saw it was actually getting better reviews, and then my brain shit itself and didn't know what it was doing anymore, and it hit purchase for myself.
It's okay. People have had crazy stories when they bought crazy things as well, so...
Usually that involves when they're going into a adult sex toy store.
Like, if you told me you like found yourself in a strip club and money started magically falling out of your pocket onto the stage floor, then I would have said, damn, dude, that's fucking crazy. But no, you bought Fallout 76 and I'm freaking the fuck out. There are worse things in life. I don't get me wrong. I love the Fallout
series. Yeah, like Silent
Hill
HD collection.
God, fucking damn it. You just you know what? I deserve that. I deserve that.
You do.
I deserve that. I'm sorry. But come on, dude. That's surprising.
By the way, look over to your game shelf and realize that it is on your shelf.
What?
Silent Hill HD collection, sir.
Oh, yeah. No, I have it. I have it because of you. You sent it
exactly.
to me.
Exactly.
On, where is it? There we go. Xbox 360. I have it for the 360.
Yeah, see? Okay. Moving along.
Well, I salute you, sir. Did you get your canvas bag?
Sorry, sir. I didn't spend $100+ for a bag that doesn't exist.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I couldn't help it.
Sorry. I don't want to pay. I don't want to pay $100 for nylon.
I just had to throw that one in there. If the game is good, though, please let me know because that I'm really intrigued now. I'm really intrigued.
Well, I'm glad I could throw us on that little bit of a tangent with that.
Yeah, that was good. That was good. All right, well, for me...
It was what just happened. That's your gaming highlight of the week, what just happened.
Yeah, that what just happened. Basically, brruh, 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 Derp Taku has left the building. It's like mic drop right there. It was great. Well, for me, I streamed Resident Evil 3 Remake on Twitch, and we completed it.
Sweet.
Yeah, it was amazing. The game was better than I anticipated, better than I expected it to be. I have a few minor gripes, but they're nothing major, but overall, I absolutely loved the experience, and I am very, very pleased with what Capcom produced. The game was great, and from that stream, dude, I got a lot of new video content on our YouTube channel. And our website. Dude, over the past week, I've uploaded 6 new videos.
That's outstanding.
That's insane.
Like, two of them are the Shenmue one.
Yeah, some of them are from the Resident Evil remake stream, but then some of the I made a couple of them was for Shenmue. I have officially decided that I am going to be playing Shenmue tomorrow. But that being said, because... Dude, I haven't played Shenmue 1 on stream since September of 2018. And we're about to touch on the second one. So I was like, we need some sort of a recap. So I found my old stream and I cut a promo. And I was like, this actually could work for a couple of different videos. So I turned it into two different videos. One to show how the Shenmue story started. And then one where we had a lot of fun with our mission looking for sailors.
And hot dogs.
And hot dogs.
Hot dogs and looking for sailors.
Yeah. So I didn't do a previously on Shenmue for the entire game, just how it started in a section of it. But if anybody out there who's seen those videos and anybody out there who's listening, if you want me to do a previously on Shenmue video segment for the whole game, let me know in our Discord if you guys are interested, and I'll continue to make them even as I'm playing Shenmue 2, because I'm not going to lie, I had a lot of fun putting them together. I've spent a lot of my time at home just video editing, and it's been a blast.
I would like to add to your highlights of this week, but not of this year, but last year. What happened this week last year?
Oh, this week last year, I was feeling a little down. Life was a little hard, and Derptaku and Kaiju wanted to cheer me up. God, I can't believe it's been a year. Basically, they surprised me with a video message from voice actor David Hayter, Solid Snake himself, just to wish me a good one. And I have never in my life, like, geeked the fuck out as hard as I did with that message. And I thank Kaiju and Derp from the bottom of my heart. It's still one of the most special messages I think I've ever received from anybody. And oh, if you guys want to see it, it's on YouTube. It's on our YouTube channel. It's amazing.
Nathan, this is Solid Snake. Daniel and Heather tell me you could use a few laughs. Well, I can't help you, because I'm an inherently serious character. Anyway, they tell me you have an unnatural love for water, which I do too. Scuba diving, fighting underwater, shark wrestling. I understand you also get a laugh out of the words bubble and gurgle. Bubble and gurgle. Anyway... just wanted to wish you a great one. Snake out.
Oh my god! Oh my god! Oh my god! That's fucking Solid Snake!
It's fucking gold. You guys need to see that video.
Well, Derp, can you fill us in, fill me in, and fill everyone listening in? Like, how did that come about? How did you and Kaiju put that together?
Well, Kaiju first asked me about it, and I was like, dude, that's a great idea. But originally, it was going to be Colonel.
Oh, I was playing Metal Gear Solid on the GameCube back then.
Oh yeah, you were. But originally, it was going to be the Colonel because he was the cheaper one, and Kaiju was just going to get it for you.
Okay.
And, like, you know. Let's go big. Let's get David Hayter. He's a little more expensive, but I'll kick in most of it, and we'll get him the good one. Like, Colonel would be cool, but come on. Why would you pass up Snake?
Solid Snake! Either one of them, I would have geeked out the just as well, but... dude, Solid Snake.
I mean, the Colonel has a very, very, iconic voice.
He does. But he sounds like a robot, but he also sounds like a colonel from the military.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, you know.
On Saturday morning last week, I saw a guy leaving Rosemary's room. How should I put it? It was like they were intimate. I'm sorry. Sorry to bring this up during the mission, but... Raiden? I'm eating right now. Get back to me later.
Oh, but it was like, no, it has to be Snake. It has to be Snake. So she had this webpage that she found all this stuff on, and it was cameo.com or net or whatever it is.
Yeah.
But it's Cameo. And these voice actors, like all kinds of actors and celebrities, will record messages or whatever, video cheer-ups or whatever you ask them to do, pretty much, just to say, and they'll say it, as long as it's within their rule set. I mean, that's where the message for the dummy thick message comes from.
Yeah, it was from a Cameo video.
From David Hayter. It comes from Cameo. Somebody asked him to say that message.
Colonel, I'm trying to sneak around, but I'm dummy thick, and the clap of my ass cheeks keeps alerting the guards.
Yeah, we have that in our stream too, because that was just too good of a sound effect to pass up.
Yeah, that's what it comes from.
Yeah.
So we got that message for you, and it was to cheer you up, and it fucking worked.
I still can't believe that you got to tell him to say that my favorite things were words like bubble and gurgle. I can't believe that you got him to know that I have an overly profound love for water, and he ran with it. And then he says, I enjoy water too, scuba diving.
Yeah, the scuba diving thing and fighting underwater was all his.
Yeah, that was great. Oh my god, that was so great. So that happened over a year ago, but that message still, I hold tight, and I can't thank you and Kaiju enough. So you guys are the
best.
No
problem.
Seriously.
No problem.
That's definitely a highlight of the year.
You know, mentioning that on the second fact, remember Extra Life?
Yes.
And Omega got Mikey and got him to do a shout out for the whole Extra Life crew.
Team and team together. Michelangelo here to send some major gratitude to Derp, Blue, Dream, Don, R, Tar, and Omega for everything they've been doing to make this a success. Cowabunga, dudes. Stay green.
That was really cool, and that was really special.
It was.
Basically cheering us on for raising money for kids for Extra Life last November, and we always have fun playing games and raising money for kids, but getting a message like that, it just made it that much more special. Like, we're doing something good, and you got the official Michelangelo rooting for us, and I'm like, oh my god! Fangirling over here.
The bad thing about me was I recognized the voice, and I couldn't place who it was. I'm like, why do I recognize this voice?
Yeah, because you have this guy popping up. He's got t-shirts and a shirt on. He's like, what's up, dudes? And you're like, wow, why do I know that voice? Because you're used to seeing him as a Ninja Turtle.
And it was just, and then by the end, I'm like, oh my god, I know who that is now. When he said Cowabunga, I'm like, oh my god, dang, dude, are you serious?
It was really, really cool. The other thing about my personal gaming highlights of the week, so we played Resident Evil 3 Remake, beat it, loved it. I am farther in Final Fantasy by a little bit, gonna play that off stream still. But the biggest thing during this whole lockdown isolation thing where I'm trying to find new things to do, I was having a conversation with somebody online. It was with one of my cousins, and the world's in a crazy place right now, and we're all trying to cope the best we can, and I just thought, I was like, well, I used to enjoy doing things when the world was normal, but now that the world's not normal, I don't enjoy those same things. I gotta try to find something different, just to keep it out of the monotony, out of the routine, and to keep me from going stir-crazy. And then I just picked up Super Mario Maker 2 off the shelf, and I realized I haven't picked it up since it launched, like, last summer. And I'm like, you know what? I need something that'll help take my mind off things and pass the time away. And I decided to give the level creation a try. I only played the adventure mode when it was released last year, which is a brilliant, brilliant idea. It helps get you ideas on how to play the game and how to create. But I now officially started creating levels, and it's been awesome. I thought it would be fun to share them with our community. I made a Super Mario Maker 2 channel in our Discord. I created a Super Mario Maker page on our website. And
forced me to get the game.
I did not force you to get the game, by the way. I just told you how excited I was.
He forced me.
And dude,
against
the next thing
my
I know,
will, twisted my arm.
He shows up with a copy of the game out of nowhere and not only surprised me that he bought it,
but he bought a physical copy.
Yeah. He twisted my arm.
Well, I do appreciate you getting in on the action. I'm having fun making levels. I invite anybody who plays Super Mario Maker 2 to check out the levels I created.
Don't play his levels. They're bullshit.
If you have levels that you guys created, I want to play them. Go to our Discord, and you can find our Discord at paradigmgaming.live/social. You can connect there if you haven't.
I'll let you know. I completed Spike's Underground Treasure, you asshole.
I created a level called Spike's Underground Treasure, and it was my second level attempt. And apparently Derp is now telling me he didn't like it.
Well, because there's no checkpoint. You have to start at the beginning every time you die, even if you get to the end right where that last little spiky ball guy is, right before the end of the fucking level, you have to go back right to the beginning. And I was salty as fuck.
Derp, you do realize that when Mario came out when we were kids, there was no such thing as checkpoints?
You do realize that the levels were shorter, and I also don't give a fuck.
You also do realize that even the Mario levels back then had multiple secrets and endings to get to the end without having to go one path?
You do realize that I followed that arrow on the second pass-by the one time, and I went back to another part of the level that I had already been because I could see the arrow pointing down, and I thought that was another way to beat the level, but it just took me back to where I was.
You also realize that when was the last time you played a Mario game?
I got no answer for that, because I haven't.
This should give you a peace of mind. In order for me to even upload a level, I have to be able to clear it. So it can be beat.
Well, I get that.
You just gotta figure out how.
Oh, I got there. I actually got there the third time through.
Oh, good.
But
I'm
like
so glad
I said, I died stupidly to one of the creatures I let free on that final block. And then I jumped up, tried to get on the platform, and I accidentally hit them and died.
That's awesome. I'm so glad you made more than one attempt.
It took me like 6 or 7.
Well, hey, that was the other thing, too. The Mario levels when we were kids, after you died, you get extra lives and keep trying again. I was just trying to keep that spirit alive.
You're still an asshole.
I love you, too. But anyway, Super Mario Maker 2. I'm having a lot of fun with it. I would invite everybody out there listening to check out some of the levels that I've created. And if you have any that you guys want to share, please go to our Discord, share out the course IDs, and I'd love to play them. Let's all just band together during this time and have fun playing games. And what better way to do it than Super Mario Maker 2? Well, unless you guys are playing Animal Crossing, and then I understand. But Mario Maker!
Shameless promotions! Pew, pew, pew! Pew, 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 pew! Yeah, I know, I'm an asshole, but don't worry about it.
Well, I didn't realize I was going to get cut off there, but that's okay. You know what? I appreciate you. Thank you for playing my levels, and I'm sorry you got salty.
It's okay, I forgive you.
Just wait until you play my third level. You're going to really hate me. I actually made the third level hard.
Outstanding.
It's one of those levels that auto-scrolls from left to right, and it forces you to move and jump.
Yeah. I just want you to know, though, I only interrupted you with those because you made me salty.
Noted. Every time I make Derp salty, I get interrupted. Well, Derp, gaming... clearing my throat.
Gaming goals of the week.
I want you guys to realize that after he did that, he's probably going to cut it out, but his voice cracked like he couldn't actually get it out or he had something in his throat.
You know what, Derp? I'm going to leave that one in there just for you.
Good. Good. You better.
Derp, what are your gaming and or streaming goals for this week?
Well, depending on how my days off go, I may or may not be returning to work for a couple weeks. So there might be a lot more getting done. It just depends.
Okay. Everything good at work?
But we won't go into details, but let's just say considering I'm a type 1 diabetic, I might be getting 2 weeks off paid because of, yeah.
All right, fair enough. That's good. I hope you get that. If there's anybody who deserves time off, dude, it's you, and I know you could use the break.
Yeah, yes.
So gaming is in the horizons then, is that what I'm hearing? Streaming, tabletopping, what's going on?
Streaming for sure. I want to, hopefully a goal if I do get time off this week. I want to at least get combat situated on my on the tabletop I'm creating. I want to get the map done as well, like how the main frame is set up, which is what we're calling the main city, is basically the main frame.
The grid.
Of the platform itself. And it'll have different districts and stuff like that.
A digital frontier.
Yep, pretty much. But it'll be mainframe.
All right, that's cool. That's cool.
But yeah, aside from that, want to try and get the basis done to be able to have mock battles and test the combat system, even though some of the combat system basically came from others, but I have a different system on like health implemented that makes it a little bit different. So we need to check out the numbers we've been putting in and make sure those work. And then also test character creation as well.
Nice.
But after we get that situated, we need to start throwing in all the skills and coming up with character skills and what levels they get them out and what they get to choose and blah, 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 blah.
Hell yeah, dude. That sounds awesome. That sounds like our good goals to have.
But, and then if I do get time off, then I need to get back to Geralt. And I think I know what I'm going to do to actually record properly now. Since I put him on a cardboard piece, I'm going to put him on the floor and have the camera on a tripod and it'll have a better visibility. So I might be able to do it that way and then just use the floor as my table and have more room.
It's good stuff, dude. It's good stuff.
What do you have planned, sir? What are you goaling?
What is my goaling? Is that a word?
What are you goaling for?
Is that even a word? Is that a thing?
It is now. Don't worry about it.
What is blue goaling? All right. Gaming goals of the week? Well, I'm going to stream Shenmue tomorrow. I've had a lot of fun prepping for the stream, especially with the two recap videos that I've done. I was calling it previously on Shenmue. Derp, did you see him yet? Did you watch him?
Oh, yeah. That I did. Sorry, I was looking for something. I'm trying to entertain you while you're trying to talk.
Oh, that's the comic you were trying to send me about Peach and Bowser. Ah! I see a picture of Peach holding a bunch of babies that look like the Koopa kids from Super Mario Bros. 3. Bowser looks shocked. Luigi looks shocked. Mario looks pissed. And Toad looks like he's on crack. But anyway, streaming goals for the week. I plan on streaming Shenmue 2 tomorrow. We've been doing a lot of prep work for the stream by doing the recaps for Shenmue 1. I've really enjoyed those. I hope you guys had some laughs. I don't know if you've seen them, but if you haven't, I highly recommend you go to our YouTube channel. Other than that, I'm enjoying my stream time off playing Final Fantasy VII Remake. I plan on continuing to play that off stream. And I'm loving my time with Super Mario Maker 2, so you can expect more levels I can create to make Derp extra salty.
No comment. No comment.
No comment, huh? All right. We'll save the comments for later.
What was your first console, and what was the first game that changed your world forever?
This is a one-topic evening, folks, because this is going to be probably very extensive.
This is actually kind of personal for a lot of people. This is a very deep and personal question. Because gaming, if you guys are listening, you're here because of video games. Derp and I are here because of video games. Am I right?
What's a video game?
Who are you and who let you in here?
I don't even know where I am. What? Who are you?
All right, I need your bank account number. I need your serial number, how tall you are, whether you're susceptible to any diseases.
And if you are?
Maybe I'll give you pizza. Maybe I'll prick off your arm. Yeah. Derp, what was your first console?
My first console was an NES. Well, not necessarily mine. It was actually my parents, and they had an NES. They had Final Fantasy, Dragon Warrior, Bubble Bobble, which I played all those games. And they were fun, like, I liked playing them, but it's not my console. My first console was the Sega Genesis.
So glad I wore this shirt today for you, Derp.
Yeah, you did. It's sexy as hell.
Wait, I actually have the consoles on my shirt. Which one was yours? It was the Genesis?
The one you just passed over, that one.
There we go, the Genesis. It's right
that
on
one,
my...
Right on your left.
My titty. Yeah. It's right on my titty.
Hey, it's on your titty.
All right, well, according to my shirt, this came out on August 14th, 1989.
And I think that's when I got it. Maybe the year after.
Awesome.
But I got it. I got it with, my first game was Sonic. and I think Terminator 2.
No way. Dun 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 dun.
Dun 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 dun. Come on, you guys. Come on, play along with me. Dun 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 dun. Dun 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 dun. You know, and it's fire and all that, Linda Hamilton.
Yeah. So it was the rail shooter that you were the first person, then you moved the joystick around to
the D-pad.
And then you shot things down. Yeah, it was the arcade thing. And then also Sonic, which of course was fun. Like, they were great games, they were fun, they'd increase the graphics and all that. Like, it was neat, the 16-bit system, or it was 16-bit system. But the first game that, like, just changed everything, because I always loved RPG. I liked the RPGs. Final Fantasy was fun. Dragon Warrior was fun. But I was probably not old enough, but when it came to the story, I didn't really pay attention. It was just me playing a JRPG, or RPG, whatever. They were Japanese at the time, too. JRPG. And I don't know, I wasn't paying attention to the story. Dragon Warrior was a cool game, though. And I loved the music. The music for Dragon Warrior was really good. Especially the town music, and just the opening music to it was cool. And even then, to this day, Dragon Quest, which is Dragon Warrior, Dragon Quest in Japan, it still has the same music to this day, and they haven't changed it that much. Like, you can go into Dragon Quest 11, you could still hear all the same music that was in the original Dragon Warrior for NES. It's just revamped and made prettier. It got me into JRPGs or RPGs in general, but that didn't change it for me. What changed the RPG scene for me when I actually started paying attention to story and enjoying it for what it was Shining Force. And I've said this before, Shining Force is my game that changed everything for me as far as RPGs go, because it was the first game that I actually paid attention to story. I paid attention to story. I enjoyed the combat because it was a strategy RPG.
Okay.
So you moved a certain number of spaces to fight and do things, but it had these combat sequences that were cartoonish.
Yeah.
And almost, it felt full motion cartoon for every fight sequence, because it would go into this fight scene and it would do an auto attack thing for the character, but every character looked different and had their own sprite and everything, so it felt like it was actually another character fighting. None of the enemies looked like the characters you had, so there was actually a lot of difference between everything. It actually looked like a lot of effort was put into it, and the story was good too.
Nice.
Well, at least then, and I enjoyed it. But nowadays, it would probably seem like a generic story, but when I mentioned what game I'd like to see come back would be a Shining Force in an SRPG form, it would be day one. I would be day negative 10 if I could on that.
Wow.
Like, if it was like $100-$200 to get a game 2 weeks early or something, I would get it for a new Shining Force game if it was like the old ones.
That's cool. So about how old were you when you played it?
Let's see, Shining Force 1 came out when?
1992.
Okay, so I'm pretty sure we got that right when it came out or right after. So it would be maybe 1993, tops.
Okay.
So I was probably, I was about 9 or 10 when I played that one. And that was around the time I actually started paying attention to story, and that's what really changed RPGs for me, because I noticed that they had a story to them that interested me.
That's really cool.
Sega was my go-to system when I grew up, because it was either you had a Sega Genesis or you had a Super Nintendo. My friend in junior high had a Super Nintendo, or no, in I guess it was late elementary school. So like 5th and 6th grade, when I moved to another town, which where we met eventually.
Yeah, you already had a PlayStation by the time I met you.
Yeah, I already had the PlayStation then, but no, when I moved there, they had the Super Nintendo, and I played some games on that.
Okay.
But I never owned a Super Nintendo, so a lot of the Super Nintendo games I never played, except Chrono Trigger and like some of the Super Mario games in that.
You know, for as long as I've known you, I always learn something new about you, and that's kind of cool. I had no idea that Sega was your system when you grew up as a kid. That is super cool to know. I'm blown away. I never owned a Sega. And in fact,
now you do.
I do now. You sent me a Sega Genesis and a Hyperkin HDMI cable for my birthday, and I absolutely love it. I got some games from a few friends of mine too. Sonic 1 and 2, Ninja Turtles Tournament Fighters, and Jurassic Park Rampage Edition. It's such a different type of system, but it still has the spirit of what I love about the Super Nintendo. It's just the visuals are different, the sound is different, the controller is different. It's really cool to kind of see that side of the spectrum that I missed out on as a kid.
Yeah, if you can find yourself a 6-button Sega controller,
yeah,
do it.
Okay.
Because they have ABC and XYZ.
Oh, okay.
And some games actually utilize that eventually later in the system when after that controller came out. It wasn't necessary, but some games did utilize it.
Okay.
Like, I think one of the Mortal Kombat games might have.
I'm finding that the older I get, the more I'm really enjoying role-playing games. I think when I was younger, I was just, I didn't have the time or the patience. And now that I'm older, I actually want to venture into some of these RPGs that I missed out. And the Genesis seemed to have a lot of cool RPGs. And
it did. It had a lot of them. And like I said, Shining Force was my go-to, especially Shining Force 2, because Shining Force 2, I felt, because it's nostalgic for me, it had such a great soundtrack.
Oh, nice.
And I mean, you can always play them if you can't find them, because you probably won't find those. They're very rare.
Yeah, I have emulators if necessary, but you know me, I love to collect.
Or not even that, you could use Steam and use the Sega Genesis Master Collection on the connection that I have, because, you know, I have that.
Oh, I didn't realize it was in a Sega Master Pack. That is really cool.
Yeah, there's a Sega Master Pack on Steam.
Well, I am a fan of collecting the original cartridges if I can, but if there's other means to play it, like emulation, or if it's in a Steam Genesis Master Pack, I'm all for it.
Sorry, Sega Mega Drive and Genesis Classics.
Okay. Damn, I'm gonna have to check that out then, dude. That's awesome.
Let's see, what games do I actually have? The whole collection's $34, though.
When I went to E3 2019, they were just about to release the Sega Genesis Mini, and Omega Apex and I got a chance to test it while we were on the floor, and it was really cool. It had tons of Genesis games, had a cool layout on the menu system to choose the games that you want, and they set the entire room to look like a 90s kids room. It's on my list of things to own, because I'm like, wow, I missed out on a Genesis, and this has some of the best games on the system. But now that I have a real Genesis because of you, thank you, by the way, I'll just have to pick up the real games myself. And I love not only collecting the games, I love playing them, and I have a part of gaming history on my shelf now because of you. So I will be seeking these games out, hands down, for sure. My first console was the Nintendo Entertainment System, the NES. In the late 80s, my family and I moved to Germany.
Mm-hmm.
I was about 5 years old. My stepbrother and I used to go to a babysitter who was a friend of the family's, and they had an NES. I discovered Super Mario Brothers, Duck Hunt, and Track and Field all in one cartridge.
Nice.
3 games, one cartridge, because of my babysitter. And playing on the little Track and Field mat was actually kind of cool. But yeah, that was my first experience with the Nintendo, was going to my babysitter's house. He had a Nintendo, and he had a ton of games. The first video game I have a memory of playing was the original Super Mario Brothers. And it is probably still one of the biggest influential games for not only for me, but for many people on this planet. But when you ask the question, though, Derp, what was the first game that changed your world forever? It's easy to say Super Mario Brothers, especially since it's one of the first Nintendo games I've ever played.
Mm-hmm.
There's a reason why it's everyone's favorite. I mean, it is an amazing game. There's worlds to explore. There's warp zone skip levels. You get to battle King Koopa. You get to rescue the princess. I mean, what's not to love, right?
Right.
What's not to love? It's a great game. But when I really thought about it, I remembered another game my babysitter had that I think I played more times than I can even count. The one NES game that captured my imagination as a kid, though? The Goonies 2. The Goonies 2 for the original Nintendo by Konami. All right, check this out. The movie came out in 1985. It's a classic kids adventure movie, and if anybody listening, if you've never seen it, I highly, highly recommend it.
Highly.
It's one of my favorite movies as a kid. I love it as an adult. It's just fun. But The Goonies 2, okay, this is what's funny. Konami made a Goonies 1 game for the Nintendo, but it was never released in America. It was only in Japan. That came out in 1986, a year after the movie came out. There's an emulator out there around the internet, interwebs, so it is possible to play it in some form, but Goonies 2 was released worldwide. That's what's even funnier about this. Like, they never made a sequel to the movie, so this video game is actually an original story. It's a very unique experience. So if you guys are familiar with the movie, they still feature the Fratelli family.
Huh.
So in this game, the Fratelli family, they broke out of jail, and they want to exact revenge on the Goonies who got him into jail. They capture all the Goonies but one. The one character that you are in this game is Mikey. That was Sean Astin's character from the original movie. You guys remember Sean Astin from Lord of the Rings? Samwise Gamgee?
Potatoes! Boil them, mash them, stick them in a stew.
Okay. All right, well, you play as Mikey, and it's up to you to rescue your friends. But for some reason, you also have to rescue a kidnapped mermaid named Annie.
Okay.
For some reason, the Fratelli family kidnapped a mermaid. I don't know. The story's kind of crazy. But that being said, the game itself, looking back on it today, I think this is a pretty ambitious game for its time.
Considering it's trying to expand on the world that was already there.
You're right, absolutely. But not just with that, but for its gameplay. So this game came out in 1987, so check this out. The game has a side-scrolling perspective when you start. Your typical left and right, right?
Mm-hmm.
You can run and jump like Mario, which is cool, but you also got a yo-yo. You can stun enemies with it. There's spiders, there's snakes, and the Fratellis chase you throughout the game at random, but you can't kill them, you can only stun them, and then you can escape from them. But what separates this game from something like Mario Brothers is this game also has some cool Metroidvania elements. It's got a large map. There's a whole map layout for you to explore, and lots of doors you can go into and explore. Nintendo had a lot of games back then, like The Legend of Zelda, Final Fantasy, Dragon Warrior. They didn't give you maps. And I know a lot of people back in the day used to hand-draw their own maps. And at some point, Nintendo came out with the Nintendo Power Magazine, and they featured maps and layouts of games. But before that happened, you had to hand-draw your own maps. So the Goonies 2 actually had a map layout at the start menu, which was kind of revolutionary for its time.
Yeah.
I don't know a lot of games that had that feature, but I thought that was really cool. And there are lots of doors. So you're in a side-scrolling platform, and you go to a door, you press the up button, you go into the door. The perspective changes from a side-scrolling view to a first-person view. All of the rooms are different. Some have items in them, some have NPCs, some give you hints or items, and some have doors that lead you to other areas into the game. So you've got a Nintendo game that gives you a side-scrolling perspective and a first-person perspective, and it's trippy. Because it was the first time, I'm like 5 years old, and I'm running into a game where you're switching perspectives, and it's a new concept for me. Shit, gaming in general was a new concept for me. In the very beginning of the game, one of the first doors you go into, it's just a room full of walls, but on the floor there's a hammer sitting there, and on the left hand side you have a list of commands that you can select, like go or hit or take or tools. When you select take, you pick up the hammer and then you take that with you. And then from there, you can go into another room, and then you can use that hammer and test it on the wall to see if it reveals, like, a secret door or a secret hole in the ceiling. And let's say there's a hole in the ceiling. Well, you can't reach it without a ladder. But eventually, you go exploring, you find a ladder, you get to go back. You get to traverse back to earlier in the game and use the ladder to climb up and find either a new room with an item in it or a new room with a door in it. And the whole point of the game is to rescue your friends who are captured, and you get power-ups when you do that. This is 1987. This is stuff you get in games today. So when I think of like what this game is trying to project for a game that came out in the late 80s, this is an ambitious game. But was one of those games that fueled my imagination. Like seriously, I get goosebumps and chills just talking about it. When you go out of the door, and then there's ladders, you can traverse into different levels. There's a warehouse level, there's a jungle level, there's an ice level, an underwater level. You wear scuba gear, and you shoot spears at like crabs and fish. Instead of ladders in the jungle area, you climb on vines, and every level has a different musical tune to it. But the main theme is still the Cyndi Lauper Goonies theme song, but in 8-bit, and it's really, really catchy.
That's really interesting.
So, no, you got to imagine, though, as a kid, like, this game had, like, Metroid elements, it had Zelda elements, it had catchy themes, it had enemies, and it made you think about puzzles. I'm in a room that's in first person. I need a key to unlock a chest that's on the floor. There's nothing in the room. Can I use the hammer to find a secret door? It made me think. In Super Mario Brothers, you collect power-ups and you run and jump, and your point is to make it to the end. In Goonies, you travel back and forth and up and down, and you go from world to world, and you have to rescue your friends. I'm still blown away by this game, and this was the first game that really captured my imagination. It's the one thing that changed my world with video games, and after that, I absolutely just fell in love with gaming. I love this game.
Welcome to Blue Nile 101, where Goonies not only changed his life in movie form, but also in games.
Dude, the game is just so damn awesome. It was a revolution for its time to me. And not a lot of games back then had this exploration type element with a full map that you can use to find items. It combines so many of my favorite games into one. But that was just it. I didn't play Metroid then. I didn't play Zelda again. I played Super Mario Brothers, Duck Hunt, Track and Field, and Goonies 2. After that, then I found Zelda. Then I found Metroid. Then I find Final Fantasy and Dragon Warrior. At this game, God, this game is just so amazing.
He's
so,
a good artist when it comes to speakery.
Christmas Day, 1989. My stepbrother and I found that Santa Claus left us a surprise. He left us a handwritten note that said we were good this year and thought that we would enjoy having our very own Nintendo Entertainment System. We were always going to our babysitter's house to play it. We couldn't wait to go and play the system. And now for the first time, Santa Claus not only wrote us a note to said, here you go, but he also hooked it up for us. All we had to do was put in a game and press power.
That's pro. Santa was awesome that year.
Santa was amazing that year. It was a very special memory. And what started this topic was I wanted to share my memory of getting my Nintendo and my first experience that blew my mind away. And I want to thank you for letting me share that story.
You're not welcome.
Now, I do have a quick list. Of some games that I absolutely love on the system. Because after I got the Nintendo, well, now it's all about my favorite games after that. Chip and Dale's Rescue Rangers.
That was a good game.
Legend of Zelda. Metroid.
Of course.
Mega Man 2.
Yes.
My favorite Mega Man game. Some of the best musical soundtracks ever in Mega Man 2.
Yep.
Of all the Mega Man games, that one's it. That one's mine. Super Mario Brothers 3, Ninja Turtles 2, the arcade game. Those are some of my favorite games on that console. But if it wasn't for Super Mario Brothers, Duck Hunt, Track and Field, and The Goonies 2, as I'm holding up and showing the cover to Dirt because I'm so proud of it.
He showed it like 5 or 6 times this entire time he's been talking.
I love this game. I almost forgot how much I love this game. When and I started writing Blue, about this topic, I was like, I had to search deep in my psyche and my memory bank,
Blue,
and I pulled this out.
Blue?
Yes.
Why have you not streamed it?
Because I have the Retron 5, and I didn't realize that it was an emulation-based ROM game where you put in the cartridge, it dumps the file into the system, and there is lag on the controller. It doesn't play well on the Retron 5, and I want a Nintendo console that will read from the cartridge.
Okay. Well noted.
Or I emulate it, but I would rather play it from the real thing. That's why.
Gotcha.
I tried streaming some games with the Retron 5, and I found that the there was lag on the controller, the input delay was throwing my world off, and I was not having fun. And I didn't realize until Omega Apex filled me in that, like, dude, you know the Retron 5 takes the file from the cartridge and reads it as a ROM, right? It's emulation. And I'm like, oh, that's why it feels weird. All right, that's why I don't want to. That's why I haven't streamed Nintendo games yet, because...
Yeah. No, it's all good.
I need a better system. I need a better system to do it. Community participation. First of all, I just want to thank everybody who did participate. There was a few of you. Thank you for sharing your memories. These were amazing. And you guys are awesome. So in the community, what was your first console and the first game that changed your world forever? Well, we have John Slade. He was the first to kick off this topic from the community and says, and I quote, I'll kick this off. After some thought, I'm going to have to go PS2. First console I can remember staying up past bedtime to play, playing till 4 a.m. It was the first console where I realized I loved video games. Also, after much thought, I voted for Need for Speed 2 as the game I most loved and changed my world. It sparked my serious love of cars, and it was the first game I want to play over and over again. For that, I salute you, sir. He found a game that changed his world, and that is amazing.
Cheers to Slade.
I wish I actually had a way to chime in with some of the racing game aspects like you could, Derp, because I never played Need for Speed. I missed out on all the Gran Turismo games, and the most experience I have was Extreme G, Mario Kart, and Stunt Race FX.
Which Extreme G is cool. It's just, it's not...
It's a futuristic Tron-like like speed booster motorcycle game.
But it's not a... it's not really a skill-based racer.
No,
because
it's
pretty straightforward, and it kind of runs you on the track. You just have to turn a little bit. Where Need for Speed, you actually have to brake and you have to slide and turn and do the. You know, it's tactical driving rather than just go as fast as you can.
If anybody who loves racing games the most and who's really good at them, it's my wife.
Yeah, she. I remember you saying that she liked Gran Turismo.
Dude, she loves the Gran Turismo series. It's awesome. We were actually talking about it today.
Next on the list, we had input from Indigo Rogue. My first console was the NES, and my dad and I did a lot of co-op. I begged him to teach me how to play Final Fantasy 1. I could never make it past the character option screen because it was an unknown, quote-unquote, I wasn't ready to deal with. So Zelda 1 became my first game, and that was my defining moment of becoming a Zelda fan. I now know where practically everything is in Zelda 1 and still have the guide, map, and small level 9 map my uncle made.
Dude, that is so cool. See, there's somebody else who actually made a map, because in the original Legend of Zelda doesn't provide you with a map in-game. Nintendo Power eventually provided you with the map, but before that ever happened, you were relied on your own note-taking and your own map drawing. That is so cool.
That is correct.
Dude, I love it when I hear people when they make their own maps.
That's awesome.
Awesome, Indy. Awesome. Very cool. Very cool. Ah, here we go. King of Nat. First actual console? Intellivision. With only a few games I can remember. The most memorable was the SNES, even though I never owned one. I learned how to use emulators at a very early age. Some of the biggest games that defined my experience were Final Fantasy 4, 5, and 6, Chrono Trigger, and Secret of Mana. I used to wake up early so I could do chores and be allowed to use the computer before my brothers were up to push me out of the way. We got a Nintendo 64 when it came out and soon began the Mario games. I'd play Zelda Link to the Past some, but my love of Zelda games didn't come until the Game Boy and Link's Awakening. Wow, that is really cool.
You know what's cool is mentioning Secret of Mana, the Trials of Mana comes out next week.
On what?
On Switch.
Ooh.
And PS4, I think.
Nice.
But it's the old, it's like, I can't remember. I think it's an old one because I know the Mana games were a thing.
Yeah.
Thinking about it now, what Squaresoft game I would like to see come back?
What's that?
Secret of Evermore.
Yeah.
That's one people don't talk about very often, but that was a good Squaresoft RPG.
I own it.
Do you really?
Here's the surprising part, because you know I didn't get into RPGs until the late 90s, early 2000s. My grandmother was one of the biggest RPG fans I have ever met. I have all of the Dragon Warrior games on NES because of her. When she passed away, I got to keep her video game collection. And from that, I got Secret of Mana, Secret of Evermore, Illusion of Gaia, all the Dragon Warrior games, all the Ultima games, and more. And
dude,
I hold on to them because of her.
You know how much those are worth?
I know. I know they're rare games, and they are worth a pretty penny, but I'm never going to sell them because they were my grandmother's. And at some point, I actually think I may actually play them.
Oh my god, dude.
What are you... Oh my...
You want to know what the lowest price for Secret of Evermore is on eBay?
$259.99?
Yeah, dude. Like I was saying, that game is...
Oh...
You have money, dude.
I...
Like, those games are worth money. Like, Ultima on NES. That one's a lot cheaper. But still, like... Dude, like those games you mentioned, they're worth cash.
Yeah, no, I know I have some rare stuff in my collection, but damn, I had no idea. Well, King of Nat sound like he had some awesome games that he got to experience. It sound like he had to fight with his brothers in order to play them, and he did it on an emulator, but the fact that he got to play some of the best games and some of the best RPGs out there, we salute you.
From the almighty Nugget Lover, a.k.a. Give Me Nuggets, a.k.a. Screw the Rules, I'm a Nerd, a.k.a. Jolin. Technically, if you'd count it, my first console, was the VTech Kitty Game Thing with mostly Disney games. But the actual first console I count to heart was the PlayStation 1 with, you guessed it, Spyro.
Yeah!
I keep saying it whenever the topic is nostalgia for games, but this little dragon and its games has always been with me till today. Of course, there were others. To be honest, I think PlayStation 1 was and still is my favorite console. That and the GameCube.
Wow, that is really cool. Dude, those VTech kitty games, I used to sell those at Best Buy. They'd be in the back corner of the gaming section that nobody would stand or even look at. But I always make sure the eye looked nice and pretty. But I knew kids and parents would come in and pick them up, which is really cool. But damn. PlayStation 1 with Spyro, though, is the way to go. Arcanian, my wife, she absolutely loves the Spyro games and finally completed the Spyro Remaster Trilogy on PS4. And she had an absolute blast replaying them. It's fantastic. Almighty Nugget Lover, cheers. That sounds like you had an awesome, awesome setup. Thank you for sharing. I got Derp over here being all nostalgic and geeking out over the Shining Force 2 theme song.
I am. Oh, I'm still on share screen, aren't I?
You are. I can't see your lovely face. There you are. There you are. Thought you were trying to show me all sorts of fun stuff.
I sent you the title theme.
Yeah, I know. I used that theme for Soundtrack Saturday.
I know.
Because of you.
And it's amazing.
Guys, Derp...
For a 16-bit system?
Derp is geeking out over Shining Force. I think before he goes to bed tonight, he's going to play a little bit of it.
No, I probably won't, because it's like... It takes so long to actually start playing, though.
All right, well then just listen to the soundtrack as you fall asleep.
It's such a good game. It's got a great story, but it's an SRPG. You just don't hop into an SRPG.
One does not hop into an RPG.
One does not simply hop into an SRPG. I mean, come on, think Final Fantasy Tactics.
That's fair. Final Fantasy Tactics takes forever to start. When you do, you die immediately, and then you turn off the game.
That's if you're bad at it. Blue.
That was me. That was my experience.
But Final Fantasy Tactics is so fucking good.
All right. A, you're right. B, I never beat it because C, that was me. I could never. It's a hard game. And the only tactics game that I actually got good at was Final Fantasy Tactics A2 for the Nintendo DS. Well, and it was amazing.
You could always try and get used to Fire Emblem.
See, I was thinking about getting into that, but my wife Arcanian is like obsessed with the series. That's her thing. And I'm already into other games, and I don't know if I have that kind of patience or time. Right now, I'm trying to get through Final Fantasy games, and maybe when I'm done, I might think about looking into it. Omega Apex 128. He says, my first console was the NES. We lived in a tiny apartment and my parents could barely afford anything while my dad was in school. But we got the NES and we had Super Mario Duck Hunt, Super Mario 3, NES Play Action Football, The Legend of Zelda, and Top Gun. It always bothered me that I couldn't figure out Duck Hunt because I didn't know I needed a zapper, and I always thought there was no Super Mario 2. So this was about 1992. This was before the internet. This was before people actually knew what was going on when it comes to hooking up stuff. Like, if you didn't know you needed a zapper, that's not entirely your fault. If you were sold this system and they didn't tell you, I mean, come on. Duck Hunt was actually included with Super Mario Brothers on one cartridge. I have that cartridge, and I have the cartridge that has Super Mario, Duck Hunt, and Track and Field. And if you didn't know that you needed a trackpad in order to play Track and Field, that's not your fault either. Somebody had to give you the information. And in the late 80s and early 90s, that information is extremely important. So I feel for Omega with that one. All right, it says, in 1995, we visited family, and I saw my cousin playing A Link to the Past on SNES. And I distinctly remember going into his room, sitting down, and watching him. I'll never forget, he was in the cross-shaped room under the Hyrule Castle in the first few minutes of the game. And that was the first moment my eyes ever saw A Link to the Past. It made me play the first Zelda game on the NES and really learned it to the point I made my own map! See? See? People made maps! That is so freaking cool! Oh my god, that is so cool to read. When I got an SNES for my 8th birthday, I got the Donkey Kong pack and A Legend of Zelda, A Link to the Past. I was 100% mesmerized. I fell in love with the series and immersed myself. The first time I tried to dress up as Link, I made a shield out of cardboard and tried to use a green rain poncho as a tunic. It was terrible, but on that day when I watched my cousin play A Link to the Past, that forever defined me as the gamer I am and my love for the franchise.
Beautiful.
Well said, Omega. Well said.
Beautiful.
That's awesome.
Well, I will take over for the almighty evil laugher, L. That asshole. AKA Evil Walks. Oh, sorry, did I slip one in there?
Dude, I love L's sound effects intro. It's the bat.
Well, if you ever listen to his actual laugh, he's got it pretty down.
Does he really?
Yeah, his actual laugh is pretty evil sounding.
That is awesome.
But anyways, our first console was an Atari 2600 because remember, L does have about 10 years on us. So he's from the age of, you know, Pong.
You know what? There's nothing wrong with that. This is awesome. I'm glad we've got a variety going on here.
Yeah, definitely.
Tell me more.
He said, played the hell out of it. My youngest brother still has it and set it up just before Christmas this year for his boys. They've been playing the hell out of it, too, which goes to show you the durability of shit that's old.
Yeah.
Not to mention Game Boy.
Yeah.
You can drop that shit in a nuke and it survives.
That's very true. You literally can. There is a working Game Boy that survived an explosion.
My big gaming moment, though, was visiting a friend who had a VIC 20.
The VIC 20.
The VIC 20.
Do you know?
Do you
remember the VIC 20s?
I don't.
Okay. I posted two commercials for the VIC 20 in our Discord starring William Shatner, and it is excellent. You gotta watch them.
Why buy just a video game from Atari or Intellivision? Invest in the Wonder Computer of the 1980s for under $300. The Commodore VIC 20. Unlike games, it has a real computer keyboard. With the Commodore VIC 20, the whole family can learn computing at home. Plays great games, too. Under $300, the Wonder Computer of the 1980s, the Commodore VIC 20.
Coming soon, Commodore brings you Gorf, the Wonder Arcade Game, and Omega Race in home versions. Commodore.
I will do that.
They're so good. They're so good.
He bought a Commodore 64.
Okay.
Like I've heard of the Commodore 64. I've never seen one in action. So I'll leave that be. So he's mostly been a computer gamer ever since. The game really got him was Impossible Mission. And for me, it was lol.
So basically Impossible Mission was impossible for him.
Yep, pretty much. And then, many years later, he went to become a World of Warcraftian, where he entered in conversations with, well, me and my ex-wife.
Really?
Yeah, that's where we met
Elle. I had no idea.
I met Elle.
She who must not be named.
I met L through World of Warcraft.
Oh, that's cool.
And that was about 13 years ago.
That is so cool. I didn't know that. That's awesome.
Yeah, I've known that asshole for 13 years now. And now I can hear his laugh as I say that.
Well, L, thank you for sharing us your story. Dude, Vic20, you gotta look it up. It's so cool. It's so cool.
But as it goes, that was the last one for the input from our fellow community.
And guys, thank you for sharing your memories with us for this episode. This was really special, and it was really cool to read, and it really puts perspective. We all played these, we either play the same consoles or we play different consoles, but what brings us all together is our memories and our love for video games. And that's what this whole topic was about, so thank you so much for sharing.
And we knew it would take a very long time. Well, Blue knew it would.
I had a feeling.
At first, I thought about it. I'm like, I don't think it'll take that long. And then people started answering. I'm like, yeah, Blue is right. I'm glad I went with him on this one as one topic.
Derp's like, we could put 10 more topics in this podcast.
And I didn't say 10. Well, I said we could put...
Well, you could. I tease.
So we already have the topics figured out for next week, but we'll post those soon. Once this episode is posted.
Wait, we do? Were we still discussing those, or do we have those topics?
Well, I think we have two of them.
Final thoughts.
So, Derp, what are your final thoughts?
I think you're a twat.
What? Why?
Because you just threw me at. You're like, yeah, do the next topic thingy. And I'm like, okay. And then you just go in right after. So, what are your final thoughts?
It's like, well, I gotta keep you on your toes, sir. Just gotta make sure you're, you know, there, present,
I
laughing.
Apparently I am. I'm paying attention. Stop blowing into your bottle. Stop putting your tongue on the bottle. That's my final thought. No, but realistically, it was honestly awesome to hear, just get from the community and see what people's first systems were. Like, that's really cool. And even then, if you guys didn't answer last time and you're in the Discord, feel free to throw what your first console was in there. Doesn't matter if we're on a different topic, on a different week, just say, hey, I just listened to this episode and felt I should answer to what I thought too. We always want to hear.
Which is exactly true. I absolutely agree, because we've actually had some new people show up and say, hey, I just listened to this and here's my thoughts. And I'm like, dude, this is fucking awesome. So please, you want to chime in, please. That's what it's there for. And for those of you who are listening who don't know which channel or what Discord is, please go to paradigmgaming.live/social. You'll see the Discord connectivity link, and that will bring you into our Discord. And you can talk to us and the community. Well, my final thoughts. I miss you, Derp.
Aw, I'm going to cry.
Bring the tissues.
I need more final thoughts than that.
All right.
But I miss you too, buddy.
I'm very excited to stream Shenmue 2. I've been looking forward to this for a while. I've been having a lot of fun making video content, and I can only imagine what video content I'm going to create just for streaming Shenmue. I've been having fun playing Super Mario Maker 2 and making levels, and I hope you all join me in the fun of making levels and playing levels. And other than that, I wish everyone a wonderful week, and hope you all stay safe out there, and we continue to have fun in the world of gaming.
And don't worry,
we'll be back again. When?
At the drop of a paradigm.